and I just learned the best spell of all.
What's that?
Sleep.
Welcome back to My Alchemical Bromance. Tonight we have with us Nathan Lee Miller Foster, who is also known as Occult Fan on Twitter. You've probably, if you're on Twitter, you've probably seen him out there somewhere. And
you can't help it.
Yeah, you can't help it. He's everywhere. So we're going to talk about some stuff tonight on the podcast, but I thought that the coolest thing to start off with was, Nate, you recently became a Freemason.
I did.
You were initiated.
Yes, sir. On Columbus Day.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. So yeah. It was a few months ago. We've been talking about this for a little while. I just didn't do a very good job getting my shit together
It's both of us. It's both of us.
Yeah, I guess it probably is. Yeah, actually, this is the first episode that we've recorded since the beginning of November, which is also kind of weird. And Nate, you also have a friend with you today who's going to be initiated.
Victor.
Yeah, so...
He's just don't worry about it. He's just kind of
just
laying back.
He'll just sit there. Okay, cool.
He's in the bleachers.
Okay, so we have a live studio audience.
ish, but yeah, okay.
All right, so talk to me a little bit about the decision to become a Mason. Like,
okay,
what was that like?
I love this because yesterday on St. John's Day, my mm-hmm. dad actually gave me my grandfather's, I guess when you finally get into, you know, being a Mason, and that's all I'll say, you get a parchment, and mm-hmm. that was gifted to me. here's a triple mind fuck.
Okay.
My mom tried to give me a Masonic ring because she thought it would be a great thing to do for Christmas. Turns out that it was actually a hard-to-read ring that was a high school ring that was my grandmother's.
Oh.
This was in 1952, though.
Uh-huh.
And you could see the two torches on the bottom of the ring. They kind of looked like a thing. But then this gets really weird because... Like I there's so much I could go into, but I'll just keep it straightforward on this one. My grandfather was inducted into Masonry in 1952 as well.
Oh.
Yeah, it just got really weird really quickly. And it turned out that my grandfather in the tarot,
mm-hmm.
19 being the sun and Masonically mm-hmm. loving the sun, my grandfather was born in 1919 on 3-3.
Well, that's numerologically weird.
Well, I'm going to continue by saying he was inducted into Masonry in 1952.
Well, what's
when he was 33 years old in 3 months.
Huh.
Yeah, dude, it all matches up.
That's cool.
It's God being God.
Yeah,
that's it.
So then was it your grandfather's Masonic history that kind of inspired you to go look at it? Like,
So one odd thing is that if you've listened to Greg Curlwood's podcast with Michael Joseph, who I've actually had coffee with this summer, Michael Joseph doing all that stuff with JFK getting killed on the Kabbalistic paths and such.
Uh-huh.
When you look at that, one of the things was that he mentions in one of his things with Greg that the chapter of Morals and Dogma 30. And I happened to read on 3-3 this past year to my grandfather at his grave, chapter 30 of Morals and Dogma.
Chapter 30 is the Night Kadosh, I believe.
Yes!
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I'm an odd beginning Mason, I suppose.
Yeah, you've got a lot of background and back history with like occult stuff esoteric knowledge. Yeah, so I mean, I think one of the most interesting things to hear about then would be like, did you feel like the initiation was initiatory in sort of the occult sense, or was
yes.
it? Yeah, that's good.
I mean, like, and this is one of the definitive things, and I realize this humbly,
mm-hmm.
For magicians who come after us, I realize that I am one of the penultimate strikes against normality. So what we are saying is, yes, Masonry is there for those who care about the occult. Masonry is a very useful structure for those. Mm-hmm. Even if you think you're some kind of chaos magician or whatever, a practical magician, there is something very deep and lovely and useful inside of Masonry.
Mm-hmm.
And for particular, yeah, no, I mean, like, but you're one of us. But for men who are not, there is something for all of us, and there is something that we can use to make our world a better place.
Yes.
I don't use that vaguely. I use that very directly, like a Death Star.
I totally agree with you. I think that's actually one of the neat things about Masonic initiation is that it's not just for occultists. You know, it's Bob Davis. I don't know if you've seen this book. Bob Davis has a book called Manhood in America, and he talks about Masonic initiation as like the last kind of rite of passage that we have left for.
Confirm. Yeah, no, that's right. That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I'm gonna open my beer. Do you see my little skull?
Oh, that's awesome, dude! Nice, Indiana Jones.
And my beer. I don't even know what beer it is yet. I got it for Christmas. It's in a brown paper wrapper here. So I got it from from a Freemason named Josh. Let's see. So it is. It is wrapped very securely.
Oh, so it is. It's dead.
Well, look at that. It's a Preem Belgian style dark ale.
Oh! Oh, look at that F. Oh, it's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's even well prepared.
It is. This is going to be a tasty beer. I think I've probably had this one before, but not out of a bottle. And not for Christmas.
Oh, look, you're untwisting it and everything. Oh, you're killing it.
Yeah, it's a basket. What are you drinking? What do you have? What's your beer?
Okay, well, I'll tell you. Because Victor was so kind, he brought over some... some Stone IPA.
Uh-huh.
And I also happen to have some Evil Genius Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
What the... Is that... That sounds like marijuana.
From The Simpsons. Remember Purple Monkey Dishwasher?
No. What's Purple Monkey Dishwasher?
Sure. Okay. So what Evil Genius does, they have the first beer by them I had was Han Shot First.
Oh, Evil Genius Brewing.
Yep.
Okay. I've heard of them. I don't think we can get their beer out on my coast.
I've had three of their kinds so far. So they had Han Shot First, mm-hmm. then Purple Monkey Dishwasher, and then the other one was called Adulting.
Adulting. And you've got Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
Yeah. All right. But most importantly, if you can count to like 45 for me, I'm gonna pack a fucking marijuana bowl.
Okay. One, two. Wait, is marijuana?
Oh, I got to... It's more for my brother Victor because he wants to smoke too.
Okay.
I was trying to be sleek, but I'm not being very sleek right now. I want to smoke my bro up.
Yeah. Go for it.
He wants me to.
Is marijuana legal in your state?
Yes.
Okay. He says yes.
Thanks, Victor. Wait, is marijuana legal where you are, or are you in one of the places where are we committing a crime now?
I'm sorry, what? Yeah, no, you're free.
Okay.
If you were ever in any danger, I would fucking take the hit.
Okay, cool. I mean, I'm in Oregon. We've got marijuana all over the place.
Oregon and Massachusetts are pretty much the same sister state. Like,
oh, that's
you guys
true.
You are almost called Boston, right?
Yeah, that's true. Right. Portland was nearly Boston. And you're in Boston, aren't you? Or near Boston?
Yes, I am in Boston. Tell a story.
Oh, I'm going to tell a story about this beer. This beer is delicious. Or it smells great. Mmm. Yeah. It's kind of sweet. It's got a lot of, I'd say, fruity flavors in it. Maybe like dates or dark plums or something. Oh, it's great. This is a good choice. Thanks, Josh, wherever you are.
Thank you, Josh. But the idea is that Portland was almost Boston.
Oh, right. That story. Yeah.
That's what you were trying to say.
So the first two guys who sort of like staked a claim here, I can't remember what their names were. I think one of them was Lovejoy. I don't remember the other one's name. But they flipped a coin. They were either going to call this place New Boston or Portland. One of them was from Portland, Maine. One of them was from Boston, Massachusetts. And so it was just a coin flip. That coin flip determined that we were going to be called Boston. Portland. It determined that we were going to be called Portland.
Portland's right.
Which I'm really happy about because, you know, Boston's cool and all, but the competition would have been way too much.
We would have killed you every time.
Yeah, I mean, because Boston, Massachusetts is gigantic and influential and
ginormous.
Yeah, it's way too famous.
Well, actually, so I have a couple of Masonic tarot cards that I want to use at the end of the chat.
Okay,
I want to do a 3-card draw for you for free.
Okay,
because I charge a lot of money for that shit, but because you're being honest and good to give me a spot. Well, no, I mean, like, let's be honest and, like, you know, energetically functional here, mm-hmm. because you're being good enough to give me a spot to, you know, give some voice to my opinions, and, you know, I should do something for you that is worthy of value.
That sounds like a fair trade. Do you have a...
That's up to you.
No, that would be great. Which Masonic tarot deck do you have?
What do you mean?
Which one of the decks do you have? There are a number of Masonic tarot decks. I'm just wondering which one you've got.
No, it's an extremely intelligent question. I'm trying to play out of you what you know.
Oh, well, there's one that just came out within the last few years that I think I have sitting right here.
My God, I am so enamored with smart people.
Well,
I know, I really am.
I have a big box full of tarot cards over there, and I think that the Masonic tarot deck is in there, but that's a really new one. But there's been others that have come out in the past. The latest one, I think it was done by a French co-mason.
JB?
Maybe. I don't really remember all the details. So,
I'm being coerced from the side suddenly.
Okay.
Can we please just listen to him?
And then I remember the first Masonic tarot deck I saw was probably about 10 or 15 years ago. And it was also French. And the thing about both of these decks that kind of disappoints me is that only the major arcana are fully fleshed out and the pips are a little boring, but they're still pretty cool. Yeah, so I think the latest one, if I remember correctly, it's from Los Garebo.
Right, that's a different one. That's going to be the Masonic tarot deck that's going to have, like, a lot of, like, very straightforward looking kind of, like, square and compasses on the kind of things. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That is not the one that we want to talk about. The one that we want to talk about is the Masonic tarot that is from France from 1986 or 88, and it's by a guy named Jean Baudet or JB or something. But, yeah, no, that's the best tarot deck.
I have only seen that one, I think. I think I have seen it, but I don't have a copy.
Oh, that's cool. God, man, you want it.
I do, but it's hard to find now.
Oh, fuck that, dude. I got it for like $60 on eBay.
Well, you done well. Yeah, I do professional tarot reading sometimes too, so I've got
I know. That's what tarot stuff. I've always been drawn to that about you.
But, I don't do it as much these days. I've been meaning to get back into it. So with the initiation, like, do you feel like it's changed anything about you?
I feel like I'm becoming more adult. I feel like I'm becoming more responsible in my own life. I feel like I'm becoming more responsible to the republic around me and that I owe something to the people that I have been around.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's a feeling that I came in with too.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah, it's like a tie to the community. Like all of a sudden, you have a tie to your society and something that sort of is like.
And I am thankful for what I have gotten, and I owe for that.
Yeah, and it gets you. It also introduces you to a lot of people, and this is one of the things that I think
is huge.
Yeah, you meet people that you would never ever meet, and I'm not saying like they're not necessarily famous or brilliant.
They're definitely not famous, but they're really good people.
Yeah, but they're also people from all walks of life, and that's kind of a cool thing too. Like you really get exposed to a broader section of humanity, and a lot of them are going to end up being into really weird stuff. So it's really cool to see that normalcy or whatever you want to call it, the sort of like not being interested in weird stuff that seems to be so prevalent. it's across the board. You know, the weird people are everywhere.
I mean, but let's take it down to what you're saying, because let's just fracture that open, because if we're going to be the weird people, then we should look at it from the weird people's perspective, which is what you're saying is actually what's the frequency of people who are actually cool? And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of people across the country, this country, America specifically, who are really interested in the occult. They're very interested in what can connect them to their own divine origin. Oh, they don't want the bullshit. They don't want people who are going to trip them out or be their intermediate Jesus. They want the direct connection to the electrical source that is our soul connected.
Right. And we see that this desire, it's, I mean, well, you know, like Mitch Horowitz's book, Occult America, which goes into the origins of so many different, like, occult movements. You see that a lot of it is, like, working class people.
I love Mitch Horowitz. Let me pack a marijuana bowl for a second. For a second.
All right.
Two. We're going to pack two. Because my bro here, he's like, he wants to smoke some shit. And he's been very fucking patient.
All right. Pack your marijuana.
He's only 28 years old, but... 29.
Oh, 29. Oh, that's a good year.
Is it?
I don't know. 29 sucked for me. 29 didn't do me very well.
Say hi to Victor for a second.
Okay. Hey, Victor.
Hi, and your name is, I'm sorry, I missed it.
I'm Eric.
Hi, Eric. It's really nice to, you have a lot of knowledge. I'm just patiently listening. It's really nice to serve and be a, thanks. Be a bystander.
Yeah, you know, we've had bystanders before. Whenever episodes, we had a guy who just sort of sat and watched us interview somebody else. It's kind of fun.
But he's been voted in officially.
So
I got my letter. I got my letter in the mail. Uh-huh. I came home the other day from a hard day's work. My landlady usually lays my mail out for me. She says, "Oh, you have a few letters." Normally, it's nothing exciting. It's just, you want to sign up for this credit card? No. Mm-hmm. And there was one from the Norwood Orient Lodge on the Masonic Norwood Orient letterhead in very fancy paper, that kind of paper where you kind of run it through your fingers. It has a little special gloss and softness to it. And said, on December 11th, we voted that you will be ready for the first degree ceremonies to be performed on January 8th. And I knew at that point prior that I was in, but it was really nice to see with the letterhead. It was so, and I told Nate that I'm going to save it, put it in a little safe spot. And then when I can look back on the whole progress I've made, I can say, here's that letter that came that one day.
That's really exciting. So how did you decide to petition the lodge? Did you know Nate beforehand?
I didn't know Nate beforehand, and it's just been a blessing knowing Nate, just getting started. I'm coming in very, very coming in like just I came in so blind. I petitioned the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts, which is in Boston, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, I emailed them and I waited and I didn't hear back for months and months. And my understanding of Masonry was how, you know, kind of silent it was. And it's a silent order. And I was like, I'm not going to pester them. I'm like, maybe they're testing me. I didn't know what. And they finally CC'd, you know, the person locally to our lodge, the Orient Lodge, the Norwood Lodge. And then, you know, and then even after that, they said, I've CC'd so-and-so on this email. You know, you'll hear from him eventually. And I still didn't hear anything. And my whole thing was, I'm just going to be patient. Maybe this is a test. I could not tell. I was like, I'm not going to rock the boat. I hear back. He's something got crosswired with the emails. Sorry for the delay. Thank you for your patience. If you ever want to take a tour of the lodge sometime, let me know. Here's my cell phone, blah, blah, blah. You know, within a week, I took a tour of the lodge. I met with him. He said, you need to apply. There's an application. I said, do you have one on you? He's like, it just so happens I do. He pulls it out of his Masonic laptop bag with the Masonic symbol and all of it. And he says, here you go. I fill it out. And then this, months later, here I am waiting for January 8th.
Victor was made for us.
Yeah.
Victor is one of us from the start.
Good.
And I feel grateful for you, Eric, because like you have honestly inspired me to, you're one of the people who has inspired me to join Masonry. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, that's really flattering. I mean, thank you very much. I mean, I'm glad that you're going through this and it's fun talking to you about it as it happens. And so you're going to be getting your fellow craft degree pretty soon, right?
That's going to be actually at the same time as Victor. So oh. Here's how it worked. I was inducted on October 9th with a brother named Thomas. Mm-hmm. Thomas means twin, so I was inducted with a twin. But Thomas is a fourth generation Mason.
Oh,
so
wow.
What happened was they kind of, you know, did the whole thing with his family. They really wanted to push him forward, and I support that. And, you know, he already has his second degree, so mm-hmm. he'll be getting his third degree in January when Victor is getting inducted into his first degree. So then I'll be ready for my second degree when Victor is ready for his second degree in February, and then Victor and I will be getting our master's in April of 18.
That's awesome. I love the second degree. The second degree, I think it gets passed over a lot. And if you look at, you know, once you, I would encourage you to not look at exposés yet, but once you get past your third degree, like go back and look at some of the second degree exposés that are out there, and you'll see like everything in the 1700s in the second degree was really boring. And it wasn't until this guy named William Preston came along and wrote all the degree lectures that the second degree like blossomed into this incredible thing where it's kind of like a miniature university, almost like it's like
a tutelage on how to understand how to think properly.
Yeah, yeah, very much. So,
what I entered into masonry knowing was that I'm writing the Holy Gift by Tool.
You mean the band Tool? You're going to think that I'm really uncool. I've barely listened to any Tool at all.
Well, hold on. First, let me in the moment smoke some marijuana so my brother here gets. Because he's yanking at the chain.
He's jonesing. He's jonesing for some reefer.
My younger brother here is jonesing. So hold on, let me. But
all right, well,
hold on, hear what he said.
I'm still learning to subdue my pleasures.
He's a wise young Mason.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Oh my God, we have a good candidate. We do. Count to 30 for us so we can just get this shit out of the way.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well,
6.
Okay.
Okay. My Alchemical Bromance is sponsored by Miskatonic Books. Miskatonic Books is an online bookstore that focuses on rare, limited edition, and custom-made books of the highest quality. They specialize in books on the occult, ceremonial magic, Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, Hermeticism, and other topics of interest to you, our listeners. Check them out on the web at miskatonicbooks.com. My Masonic Tarot seems to be missing. I don't know where I put it. I'm sure... That's
some bullshit.
Well, my office is a mess. It kind of looks like...
It looks kind of clean.
Well, you can only see the top half.
I know, it looks good. You're well hidden.
Yeah. Yeah, the bottom half of my office looks like a ream of paper kind of exploded. Oh, yeah. I went to shred a bunch of stuff today, and my shredder isn't plugged in, so there's just like piles of paper sitting over there.
But, you know, that means that you're on the good side of the Ninja Turtles, because you're not shredder.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. That's a total stoner thing to say.
I have no idea what you're talking about, sir.
So you said you also thought maybe we should talk about some Solomonic stuff.
Oh my God, we have so much to talk about.
What have you been doing? Have you been doing any Solomonic workings? Like, what have you been working with? What have you been after?
Well, I mean, obviously tonight, the Hygromantia is one thing that we use to plan our conversation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Planetary Hours stuff, is that originally from the Hygromantia? I feel like the Picatrix uses that too, but I think the Picatrix calculates it in a different
way. The Picatrix and the Hygromantia are talking about the same fucking current, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And the first time I came across the Planetary Hours was in the Greater Key of Solomon. The Greater Key, right?
Which your mustache is fantastic enough for me to trust you.
Thanks. And I think I showed you that I have my altar, which is way in the back there, lights up according to the Planetary Hours.
Oh my god. We can talk offline about that.
Okay. Yeah. So I basically I wrote some code for the for Arduino that will calculate.
I am so like I'm not even gay for you right now, but I'm totally gay for you right now. Anyways.
It's not the first time I've heard that.
Oh my god! Like no, really, intelligence is my aphrodisiac. So way to go.
Mine too. Thanks.
Oh, well met.
So aside from the Hygromantia, have you I don't know, built any tools or?
All right, you're like the football store of magic right now, and this is what's happening.
Okay, I'm really, all I was going to ask about was like, have you done, so Solomonic stuff, like everybody associates that with summoning demons.
We've tried.
Yeah, have you had any luck?
No, Berto, I did the Berto summoning with Rune Soup, and I did not have any luck.
Okay, you know, what I've been doing is I took the... how to summon spirits into crystals method that Trithemius wrote, the Trithemius method.
Oh.
And...
Oh, hold on. Someone's pointing at me. Hold on.
Okay.
No, that's not the same thing. He's pointing at a... Sorry.
It's okay.
Human interaction is really not something I will ignore. You know what I mean? Sorry that your second... It's a polarized perception. It's not real. but it's not what you think it is. Eric, do you want to throw some knowledge quickly?
Yeah. So what I did is I took the Trithemian method, and I just sort of chopped it down. I de-Christianized the prayers, and kind of looked at. A lot of the ritual, a lot of this older ritual has stuff in it that seems like... So for, I don't believe that you actually need to have a magic circle drawn on the floor. I think that a lot of the stuff that happens, since it happens sort of imaginally or astrally, you can make your magic circle astrally.
I think that's very insightful.
You have to be good at it, right? So... I just used a ritual that I'd been doing for years out of the Sefer Yetzirah and use that to make my magic circle astrally. And then I do my summoning in that space.
Are you doing this on Bria or Yetzirah?
I have no idea. I wish I could tell.
You like that question.
I do like that question.
I know you like that question.
And I honestly, I don't think Bria, probably not Bria. That's tough.
No.
Yeah, it would have to be the world of formation.
I thought so.
I would be surprised if I was reaching past Yesod when that was happening.
Oh my god, dude. Come on, that's like some fucking heavy, intense... Yeah.
But...
You need... Your magic dick would need to be wicked
hard. Yeah, it would, definitely. So I've had success. You know, I've contacted the Olympic spirits from the Arbitel. That's pretty much it so far. I got a wicked cold in November, and I just sort of was like, I'm going to take a break for a little while, and then I haven't started up again. but I'm enjoying how popular the Solomonic stuff is. You know, so you mentioned Rune Soup with Gordon White. And then you've got like Frater
Xavier.
Frater Xavier. Okay, who's he? Wait, what?
Xavier. Well, actually, if you're gonna ask about who's a superior magician between Gordon and Frater Xavier, if the two had to battle it off, like you know, Sorcerer and Gandalf, that would be pretty intense. I think that Frater Xavier would probably pair pretty well Gandalf style, and I think the Sauron might be more of the Gordon. We'll see.
Who's Frater Xavier?
He's about to rain from the ashes. But the point is that
I mean, I don't necessarily think that you could listen to people doing a podcast and figure out how powerful a magician they are. But But that's not really, and that's not really even what I want to judge. Like, it's none of my business, nor really my interest. But I do think it's really neat that all of these magicians are publishing their works and making the Solomon stuff popular.
I am purposefully doing what I am doing because there is power in their magic, and they're only going to be powerful if they're tested against each other.
Oh, well, have you ever been in a magical duel?
I don't care for them to hurt each other. I want to see who's more powerful.
Okay, how would you do that? What do you
well,
think
I again,
test?
I again. All right, so for example, anyone who's into RuneSoup, Freemasonry, or any Rosicrucianism or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
OTO, etc., and maybe we'll get into that very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make it clear that I want all magicians to be on the level, you know, by that parlance.
Yeah.
But, you know, not every, you know, what's fucked up is that not everyone wants to be fair. Some people want to be venomous. Some people want to be waspish. Some people want to be rapish. And, you know, they're just the creeps, and we have to watch out against them.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that for the League of Magicians, who are Gandalfs, who are Father Christmases, who are people who are for the kind of C.S. Lewis or whatever the fuck you want to call it, who gives a flaming fuck? If you're the one who wants to slay the Jabberwock, you're with my ilk. And that's all I'm saying. You know, the people who want to use people, they're going to be fucking disowned. They're going to be destroyed. And as some popular podcasters have put it, they're going to be deleted. The elites, so-called, will be deleted.
You're drawing a line in the sand.
The sand is more than sand. It's concrete.
You're carving a line in the concrete.
These people have already made their fucking carved lines. Their blood and their DNA has been made to be as such. They have destroyed themselves through their own selfish vice. Mm-hmm. They have been connected just as we are connected to all of the stars in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And justice is done on a cosmic timetable. I am just some fucking ignorant piece of flesh. Just like, oh, not, dude, come on, no. What the fuck, man? Anyways.
What's going on over there?
Ignorant. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I am some ignorant piece of flesh who is not really aware of what this whole cosmic scheme is. Eric, you and I are both in the same position, as I know you are aware, as someone who is very cogent of his own masculine position as a star system.
Is that the purple dishwasher?
I'm drinking a stone right now.
Okay. When you left off there, I couldn't tell if there was a question implied at the end of it or not, but...
No, that was a statement.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, like, I personally am not interested in proving or having anybody else prove what sort of, you know, magical talent or ability that they've come up with or... You know, a lot of the times when it comes to the magic stuff, I'm just totally way more of a theurgist. I love the mystical experience. I want to have the mystical experience as much as possible. I want direct knowledge. I want to see God more than I want a,
you know what I think it's all about, coins. Eric? I'm going to answer what you're saying because I think I'm with you on this one.
Yeah.
Absolutely to the core, not just this one, but all the ones. And it's not where you want to be like it was when we were a kid, when we were born, when we were just arriving at consciousness. We want
when
it to be
everything
like
was
pure...
amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're saying that this whole occult kick is just some like Freudian childhood nostalgia thing?
Retrograde amnesia?
Retrograde. That might be the only cure.
Hey, man, you know what? We're all just chilling.
Do you know
Who's better to be around than those who you like to be around?
Yeah, that's true. Socrates said that when your soul is incarnated into the body, when you are, I don't know, downloaded or... embodied or thrust from like the cosmic consciousness into your little meat puppet that it is so traumatic that your soul, which originally has access to all divine knowledge, forgets yeah. everything as a coping mechanism. Yeah. It's basically
That's correct. Yeah, no, I am on board with that 1,000%.
That's why we come into consciousness screaming and we howl about it and are confused the entire way until we escape.
Well, not to mention that those fucking Abrahamic Jewish people fucking rip our fucking cock tips off.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that can't be. I mean, I don't remember that happening to me, but
that's a real thing.
That's
real shit. That's real talk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real talk.
That's fucking, oh, this dude's got fucking balls talk.
Yeah. So, all right. So,
now you see what happens when you get Mufasa on the line. So now what I want to say is that we have to make sure that we actually recognize the freedom of people. If we really want to talk about being consciously free, we have to talk about railing against the pricks who fucking want to strip us of our freedom.
Oh,
that is real talk.
That is real talk, and that's difficult talk too, because
it doesn't matter. It needs to be done like push-ups.
It does need to be done like push-ups. Yeah, and but the thing is that it's hard to find the balance, right? So you've got like philosophers like Locke and stuff in the 18th century who are writing about
Kant, Locke, Descartes.
Yeah. Descartes, Nietzsche, can fuck off though. Descartes
Nietzsche,
fucked everything up.
Nietzsche,
I don't like Nietzsche either.
But
the problem is let's go back to a thing that you said a little bit ago. About how when you went through your initiation and suddenly you sort of felt like you were part of something greater, like you felt like you had a responsibility to the Republic around you.
Republic.
I think those are the words.
Well, actually, I'll tell you where that came from. It wasn't just Masonry. It was from listening to No Agenda and Steve Pachenik.
I don't know what those are. Are those podcasts? I'm terrible at podcasts.
I'm glad to fill all of us in because this isn't just... My brother here is not looking at the screen. He could have seen that. That was cool shit.
What?
All right.
What me port?
Oh, man, you're the man. All right. I'm surrounded by good men. No, one of the things about Masonry for me is that I am surrounded by good men.
Yes.
Yep. That's instantly a truth.
But here's a problem that arises when you start going on about how, like, we have to make sure that everybody has their freedoms, but we also... You know, part of freedom. Now, this is going to tie into like Thelema. Thelema has this whole thing wrapped up in its philosophy. You're following your true will when that isn't interfering with anybody else's true will.
Yeah, I really hate it when people try to interfere with my true will. Really.
Well, if they are interfering with your true will, then one of the two of you isn't actually following their true will, right? And I think that that's something to be aware of, right? Like, you can't always, like, some freedoms can't be absolute. And some freedoms, if they are too free, result in the destruction of freedoms for others. And so now we're in this horrible mess of regulation.
Wasn't that the first thing that nothing, 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 nothing?
Nothing, 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 regulation?
I can't really say anything. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But I, you know,
think about that.
Think about what? Nothing.
True. But I mean, the first thing that we learned.
I mean, I suspect the first thing we learn is that flesh is weak. I mean, what do you think the first thing you learned was?
I
holy
mean,
crap!
Like, this is
light is bright. Everything hurts. Existed sucks.
Yeah, it's really not the same thing. It's really not the same thing at all, but this is a tender conversation for me.
Oh. So what was the first thing you learned?
That everything is connected very powerfully.
I feel like it took a long time for me to learn that.
That's the first thing I learned, and it smacked me in my fucking face. It really hit me because my grandpa...
Mm-hmm.
So my dad's probably about to join.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be great, which weirdly makes me third generation.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Retroactively, yeah. Third generation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So my grandpa actually, so my dad like, there's a longer story, but I'll just give you the quick. My mom gave me a ring. Mm-hmm. It's the wrong ring, but it had 1952. My dad then, a few days later, on St. John's Day, so he gives me my grandfather's plaque when he got inducted, and it was from 1952. It was, like, so troopy. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that because my grandfather was born heroically, all right, my word, heroically, in 1919 on 3-3, he got inducted in 52 at the age of 33. Same age as yours truly.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck is that real?
I don't know.
I know.
Yeah, you know, there's no such thing as coincidence.
No, sir. That's why I say God don't play dice.
God don't play dice. Or if he does, he already knows which way they're going to roll.
Oh my God, he made it happen that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my grandfather was a Mason.
Yep.
I don't know a whole lot of details. I have a Scottish Rite patent, so I think I know when he was made a Scottish Rite Mason, but it was a long time ago. 1973, it looks like. Maybe 72.
Can you tell?
I could if I stood up. Let me go look.
I would like to know.
April 14th, 1973.
Ah, there it is. What, all right.
Is that a cat? You have a cat?
He's a cat. He's my pet cat. Okay, from now on, this is called Victor, my pet cat.
Victor.
All right. So the point, I know now you made it weird, but it's cool. It's a Masonic thing.
Yeah, he's Mason cats.
He's my pet now. From now on, this is my pet. All right. Like, oh God, everyone's gonna love it. So the point is that you're talking about the 1973 was when Pink Floyd released Dark Side of the Moon.
Was it? I don't think my grandfather would have listened to that album. He wasn't really a Pink Floyd kind of guy.
Not my grandfather either.
Yeah. Was it 1973? There also must have been a Zeppelin album that came out in 73.
That would have been Led Zeppelin. You're making me pissed off right now. Hold on. Now you're making me think. Oh, fuck you.
Sorry.
Hold on.
Sorry. You're on a podcast. No, you're supposed to be thinking.
All right. That would have been around Physical Graffiti or... Mm-hmm.
73 was Houses of the Holy. Physical Graffiti wasn't until 75.
I know. Dude, I have these on vinyl. My dad gave me all Led Zeppelin on vinyl.
73 was Houses of the Holy.
Hold on. No, you're really right, though. Holy shit. Are we recording this? Fuck you.
Yes, we're recording all of this.
Fuck you. He's actually correct.
Yeah.
So Wish You Were Here was 70. Ninja bitch. All right, so 75. So it's actually, so Led Zeppelin made their first two albums in
68.
Uh-huh. Pink Floyd did a 70, 67 and then 78 and then 69. More came out. Their third album was in 69. That year stuff, That was a year.
That was a year. It was totally... That was a year. Okay, Nate. It's time for the tarot. Pull out your Masonic tarot.
Now what?
Well, you said you were going to draw three cards.
I'm going to erase any kind of energetic frequency by shuffling them because this is actually really fucking real. I don't fucking care about anything that came before this. No one really fucking understands the fact that this is some real fucking shit. There is energetic frequencies that occur between us and the effervescence that we are. We are lazy, stupid miscreants. These stupid human fucking beings. You lazy fucks who think you are listening. Yeah, yes. You know yourself so well, don't you? No, nor do I. So what you're going to do is you're going to access the infinite through me right now. And right now I'm going to draw 1, 2, and 3. Now these are the three cards for many humans in 2018. Who gives a fuck?
Okay.
Flipped. What I love is that Donald Trump's America draws 5, 5, and Fool.
Oh, Five of what and five of what?
Swords, pentacles, and the fool.
Hoofta. I mean, it's not horrible.
No, it's my favorite thing.
I'm gonna draw those cards out of the alchemical tarot so I can follow along with your reading as you give it to us. You said swords, pentacles, fool.
As a cat, I'm using that the fool is always powerful, whether it's positive or negative. It's a powerful card.
There's the five of pentacles. That's the pauper card, and the five of swords is that the thief card? Yeah.
So now I'm gonna draw cards for myself since I was drawing those for others.
Okay. Wait, I thought you were gonna draw cards for me.
Well, that's kind of. I know. I'm sorry for your.
That's cool.
Shitty spread. Okay. Oh no, you're right. You're right. There's three of us. There's you. There's Victor, and there's me. Mm-hmm. So next, mm-hmm. let's draw Victor.
Okay.
So I'm sorry that you got the five of swords, the five of coins, and the fool.
I'm okay with that, actually. I'm okay with that progression. It is about intellectual movement followed by physical hardship followed by a brand new journey. There's nothing wrong with that.
It just freaks me the fuck out. Victor just tried to take the deck, but I'm like, no, it's already ready.
All right. What do you got for Victor?
All righty. Ready?
I'm ready.
Card one, Emperor.
Mm.
Number two is Temperance.
Ooh, that's a good Masonic card. That's a Masonic
card. The dude just got two trumps in a row.
I know.
Yep. And then he got seven of coins.
Oh, okay. So hold on.
Two trumps and a seven of pentacles.
Seven of pentacles is about obstacles. He said the Emperor... And then Temperance, and then the Seven of Coins. The Emperor is...
Emperor, Temperance, Seven of Coins.
Emperor is about following rules somewhat. It's kind of a... Oh, shit. I'm having a hard time putting these all together. What do you feel? What's your reading? They're your cards.
I feel like that I am in good company, and that... Just waiting on the... But to your point, I think that the occult is about to make a renaissance. I think that we are about to see a bunch of people really obsessed with their stars and their planets and mm-hmm. where their tarot. Yeah, I think that's happening right now.
I think it is too. I think we're seeing a really big upswing in the occult and popular culture for sure. Kind of some, maybe a little bit driven by like goth stuff, but also you have. You know, like TV shows that are just embracing it. You know, starting with maybe like Buffy and Charmed like 20 years ago, going up...
Well, they're Supernatural.
That's... Like, they love that stuff. And you see all kinds of shit in there that's directly influenced by like Solomonic grimoires and...
Right.
And Renaissance magic and that sort of thing, which I really like. Like, it's an entertaining show.
I have a billion.
You have a billion what?
Tower cards. The card for me tonight is the Seven of Wands, which is the Valor card.
Yeah.
You knew that.
I got the Seven of Pentacles, which is not as good. I don't know what it is, but there's somewhat kind of a seven going on. Between you
and them. All right. You know what, Nate? I think we should wrap up.
Yep. I do too.
Okay, so do you have anything you want to tell our listeners? Like, is there a place they could find you online? Should I just point them at your Twitter account?
I have no idea. I have no idea what just happened.
Well, that's cool.
I think it's great that, you know, we can all warp through dimensions and jump through time space portals and become men, women, and women, men, and all that other shit. But, you know, what you really should do is look out for other people's emotions and be someone who can be solid enough when shit gets really fucking weird to be there for other people who are like, ah! And, like, be the person who's like, all right, you don't have to be, ah! you can be cool.
Yeah.
So be that person, because like that's literally a dynamic test. It has nothing to do with like your opinion of what this is or that is. And I'm going to finish by saying this. This is a torsion of electric energy. If you are loving and you are kind and empathetic, you are evolving our stature as a species, and I respect you. So per chance that you are the kind who makes us evolved and consciously connected and communicative, then God bless you, because you are the ones who I support. And to those who try to disrupt that evolutionary process, you are damned beyond your own measure. You have no idea how fucked you are.
Yeah, so I agree.
To those who are builders, we are supporters.
Mm-hmm. I think that makes a lot of sense. It'll probably make more sense when I listen to it again later.
Poets have that effect.
Yeah. Well, hey, Nate, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You're right. I'm sorry that it took so long to schedule.
No, we had a Mercury retrograde thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Let's blame it on a friggin' planet. But yeah. Well,
you know what? Actually, let's thank Mercury for being so fucking apt, because yeah. Mercury is an excellent planet.
It is, and it's direct now.
Well, I will always be in favor of Mercury and thankful to Mercury, and anyone who fucks with Mercury is an enemy of mine.
Okay. Are you listening, NASA?
Never a snake answer. What?
Yeah. Wait, what? That wasn't a snake answer. I was just warning NASA. Like, you know, NASA doesn't want to be your enemy.
Actually, I think that me and NASA are going to be fast friends forever. So let's continue on.
And
I have no idea what just happened. I feel like Beauty and the Beast, and I was Beast and Beauty at the same time, and I just ravished myself. I feel delightful. I feel really good. I feel like massaged to the nth degree.
Well, that's
and believe
just...
me, ladies, you want the nth degree.
Massage. Yeah, I mean that's the magic of teleconferencing with Portland. Thank you for listening to My Alchemical Bromance. You can find us on the web at myalchemicalbromance.com. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or Podcast Addict or anything of that nature. Tune in next time, and that's it. Bye. Good night. I'm not going to be able to do that.